The reading today comes from Matthew chapter 9, and it's beginning at verse 35. If you want to look at it in the Bible, Bible's in front of you, that's on page 974. Matthew chapter 9, beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field."
Good morning, All Saints. Shall we begin with a prayer together? Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. We celebrate this morning your goodness and your generosity. We pray that you would teach us how to respond to your call. In Jesus' name, amen. On Thursday evening, Dulwich Hamlet football team played Crystal Palace in a friendly fundraiser. I wonder, maybe some of you were there. Andy Bond, were you there? Oh, his hand at the back. I knew there'd be one person who was there. Well, I'm reliably informed that at a certain point during the match, a call was given out across the stadium that there was a car blocking the emergency exit. And whoever's car it was should go and do something about it. The match continued, and a second call was given out that there was a car blocking the emergency exit, and whoever's car it was should go and find the nearest steward. The match continued, and a third call came out across the stadium saying that the car that was blocking the emergency exit was now being towed away. At this point, the Dulwich Hamlet goalkeeper turned to the crowd and shouted, "It's my car!" And I gather someone went and moved the car for him. Now, whether this contributed to their 5-0 defeat, we will never know. But this morning, we're thinking of the idea of a call. We're thinking about what is the call that we are each listening out for. The call that maybe we are so busy immersed in the things that we're doing that we might miss. And I wonder, when we think about the idea of calling as Christians, whether we have a certain perception in our head that calling is for just certain people, for Jonathan and for Jenny, who are called to a particular kind of ministry, for those who are called overseas to missionary work. And I want to suggest to us this morning that we all have a calling. And I think this passage Joe has read to us from Matthew 9 just help us to understand what the calling is for each one of us. And it will look differently in our lives. Some of us are called to family life, to different workplaces, to different places in the world, but we all have this call. And so today I want us to look at this call of God, a call to see, a call to seek, and a call to sow. So first of all, we are called to see. This passage in Matthew comes right at the heart of Jesus's ministry. He is busy. He is on the move. People are in need of Jesus. Wherever he goes, the crowds are following him. Verse 36 begins by telling us that the crowds are gathering in around Jesus. And yet, in the midst of that busyness, in the midst of the needs that are perhaps overwhelming Jesus, he takes time to see. He doesn't just see the people and the numbers and the volume. He sees the reality of what is going on in the world around him. And Matthew expresses what Jesus sees like this. When Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion upon them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus sees the crowd as though they are sheep without a shepherd. Now, in the Old Testament, the shepherd imagery is really important. It is one of the ways God used to describe his relationship with his people. Ezekiel 34, verse 31, God says this, "You, my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are people, and I am your God." This shepherd imagery conveyed something of the relationship God has towards those he has made. We know it well, don't we, in that beautiful psalm, Psalm 23, that describes what it is to know that God's your shepherd, to know provision in the daily needs of our lives, to know guidance, to know that amazing promise that though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear, as we've heard so beautifully in one of those testimonies, to know an absence of fear. That is what it is to know that God is our shepherd. As we celebrate the dedication of Avery this morning, that is one of the things that we pray for her, that she will grow up to know the reality of the Lord as her shepherd. And yet Jesus looks at the crowd and he recognises that this is not their reality. That they do not know the provision, the guidance, the goodness, the grace of God. And it says that he had compassion upon them. And I'm reliably informed that in the Greek, that had compassion means a kind of gut-wrenching, down in the bowels, down in the guts kind of compassion. It's almost a physical response that Jesus had when he saw the crowds. And this morning, God invites us to look with compassion upon the world. He invites us to see, not with condescension, not with judgment, but with compassion on those who do not know that God is their good shepherd. Don't know if you saw in the paper last week the Banksy painting that went under auction at Sotheby's. It was one of those a canvas graffiti painting of the little girl in black and white with the heart-shaped balloon floating away. And it went on sale at Sotheby's, and this was pretty unprecedented because often Banksy's work does not go for sale. So it went at auction, and the bids were coming in thick and fast. And there was a final bid made at £860,000 on the phone. And as the auctioneer banged his hammer onto the table and said, "Sold for £860,000. There were gasps in those gathered because the painting started to slide down in its frame. And Banksy had hidden a shredding machine in the bottom of the painting. And as the painting slid down, it came out in tatters, shredded, hanging out the bottom of the painting. And everyone wondered, what about the person that's just bought this painting? With fees in, £1 million for a painting that's now shredded and broken. Is this painting now worthless because it's in pieces? Interesting number of articles came out this week commenting on what that painting was now worth. And the perception is that that painting is now priceless. because it is broken. Jesus sees the brokenness of the world, and it is priceless because it is his creation. It is his people that he loves. He sees with compassion the brokenness, and he loves those who are lost. This is the shepherd who would leave behind the 99 to go after the one that is lost. In the world of economics, that's crazy. You don't do that. You've got 99. But Jesus is drawn to those sheep that do not know the reality of the shepherd. And so today God calls us to see with that same compassion. And I wonder what it is in our lives that gets in the way of that compassion, of that seeing people as they really are. Perhaps we are fearful of being narrow-minded. Perhaps we are fearful of people not liking us so much. Perhaps we are fearful of getting involved in the brokenness and the messiness of people's lives, and we'll be able to deal with it. Perhaps we're just plain apathetic. But this morning, God invites us to see with compassion the people and the world around us. The second thing that our passage encourages us to do today is to recognise that we are called to seek. So we are called to see, and we are also called to seek. It's interesting that in response to the crowd gathering round him and Jesus having this experience of compassion, he doesn't say to the disciples, come on, there's stuff to be done, let's get busy. The first thing he says is ask the Lord of the harvest. Seek the Lord. His first response is to turn the disciples to prayer, to seeking after God. And I wonder why this is. I mean, there's so much need. Why not just do as a Martha rather than a Mary? I think, why don't we just get on and do? But Jesus says, ask the Lord. And I wonder, why is it we are called to pray, first of all? And I think it's two things. I think, first of all, it is in prayer that we encounter this compassion and heart of God that motivates us. One of my favourite stories in Scripture is the story of the disciples walking down the road to Emmaus. Remember, and Jesus appears alongside them and they don't realise that it's him, and they're chatting with him, and they go back to the house, and it's only when he breaks bread that they recognise who Jesus is. And reflecting on that story later, the disciples say, didn't our hearts burn when Jesus was with us? That is the place where compassion is born in our life, in the quiet and in the secret place of prayer. Pray, seek the Lord of the harvest. But I think Jesus also encourages us to pray, because when we pray, we recognise that God is Lord of the harvest, that we cannot do this on our own, and we cannot do this without him. We sometimes talk about mission here as finding out what God is doing and joining in. God is the Lord of the harvest, and he invites us to work where he is already at work. And I don't know whether you've ever had that experience of turning up and finding out God got there first. A few months ago, I was sitting in a hairdresser's. I have to confess, it was my day off. And so I took my book, had a coffee. I just wanted a bit of peace and quiet. And a girl started cutting my hair and asked me a few questions. And I tried to keep my head down in my book. And then she said, oh, do you work? And I said yes. She said, what do you do? I said, well, I'm a lecturer. Oh, what do you lecture in? I said, theology. She went, huh, what's theology? I said, well, it's the study of God. Are you a Christian? She said. I said, yes. She said, okay, can I ask you a question? I put my book down. I said, go on then. She said, how did you become a Christian and why? So I started to share my testimony with this girl. At one point, she had to go over to the other side of the salon to collect something. So I stopped talking. From the other side of the salon, she said, speak up, I can't hear you. So I'm shouting the story of how I became a Christian and why I'm a Christian across the hair salon. Everyone's looking at me like I'm crazy. Anyway, she came back. We finished talking. And at the end, she said to me, she said, you know, that is so interesting. She said, I went to church yesterday for the first time in 20 years. She said, it was my friend's child's christening. I walked through the church building and something happened to me. I felt something. And all the hairs on my arm stood up on edge. She rolled up the sleeve of her jacket and she said, look, it's happening to me now. I was just there, minding my own business, having a cup of coffee, and God turned up. He was already at work. She just wanted the words and the language to make sense of this experience she had already had. She wanted someone to explain to her that that was the love and the Spirit of God that she experienced. This passage talks about those who are seeking. The fields are white unto harvest. God is already at work. And we are called, first of all, to pray, to recognize his work, and to pray for more of his Spirit at work in our communities. And I don't know about you, but I am sick to the back teeth of reading headlines that tell me the church is in decline and that in 50 years' time there's going to be no church in this nation. I don't want to see those kind of headlines anymore. But the place to begin is in prayer. Because I think sometimes we don't pray with confidence in our lives because we're not sure whether it's God's will and we kind of pray a bit half-heartedly, hedging our bets. But when it comes to the building of God's church, we know we are praying in line with his will. Because Jesus says, I will build my church. And even the gates of hell will not stand against it. And I think we are being called as a church, as we have always been called, to be a people of prayer. I had the privilege on Thursday night of leading a little discussion in the church on discipleship. And I got to hang out with Nesta, which is always good for your soul. And she reminded me again of those early prayer meetings in the church, 40 years ago, every Thursday night, praying for this church to be full, praying for young people to come and be part of this church. We are a church built on prayer, but it has only begun. I loved hearing the testimonies of these 96 hours of prayer. But I think it is only the beginning. So if you're sitting there thinking, oh, I missed out, you haven't. We're only just beginning to learn what it is to be a people who pray and seek the Lord of the harvest. And lastly, we are called to sow. What does Jesus ask his disciples to pray for in this passage? Ask the Lord to send workers into the harvest field. We are to pray for those who will go into the harvest field. Yes, it is God's work, not ours. But actually, this passage makes us realise that sometimes we are the answers to our own prayers. That we are called to go, and we are called to sow. And for some of us, that may mean responding today to a call that you know has been in the back of your mind for some time. Maybe a call overseas. Maybe a call to full-time ministry, perhaps ordination or whatever that may be. Perhaps that's your call today. But for all of us, it is a call to sow the seeds of the gospel into the lives of those we meet. And let's be honest, many of us find evangelism difficult. We think it's perhaps for other people, for those who are good at it. I worked out the other day that if you say the word evangelism quickly enough times, it sounds like vandalism. And that may express how some of us feel about it. But what are we called to do? Verse 35, it is quite simple. We are called to preach the good news and to heal the sick. The salvation Jesus offers encompasses the whole of human life. It is physical, it is spiritual. It is global, but it is personal. It is the good news our world needs to hear. I was encouraged that, as many of you know, the CAP documentary was on the telly this week, talking about the amazing work that CAP is doing, helping people get out of debt throughout this nation. And again, I was interested to see some of the backlash that came up against that on social media. And in particular, the National Secular Association tweeting, what is the church doing, working amongst vulnerable people and manipulating people in their hour of need? And I just read that and I thought, of course the church works amongst vulnerable people. And of course it tells people about Jesus. Because this gospel we believe is for everyone. And it is freedom from physical debt and spiritual debt. It is personal. It is physical. It is spiritual. This good news is for all. And I wonder whether we, in our age today, need to recapture that confidence that this is good news for our world. So where might we start with sharing good news? As I close, I want to give you four pointers where I think perhaps we can start sharing this good news. Firstly, we recognise that we do it in partnership. Maybe you might like to spend some time this week reading the next chapter in Matthew chapter 10, where Jesus sends out his disciples in response to this vision he's had, really, of the crowd. And interestingly, he sends them out in twos. He doesn't send them on their own. And I think we're called to do this in partnership with one another. We're going to be running a course in November on Wednesday evenings from the 7th of November called Faith That Catches. I'm going to be talking about some of the ways we can just share our faith with friends through conversation. Come along to that. Get some support, some ideas. We do this in partnership. One of the things that Gavin and I have done is every 2 years when there's a significant football event, we always host a party on England's first match. And we invite some of our church friends that love football, but also some of our non-church friends together. And we just get them together, and some of the friendships that have formed in that have been really wonderful. And this time, for the first time ever, England actually won a match at one of our parties, which was good. But let's not keep our Christian friends and our non-church friends in separate camps. We're called to do this in partnership together. We're not alone. Secondly, we are to look for those who are seeking. The fields are ripe unto harvest, this passage says. People are seeking. And we're to discern who are those who are seeking. Where are the seekers in our culture today? Where are those who seek? Where are the people of peace who are open and receptive and warm to this good news? When I spend some time in Peckham Levels, I often think that's a place where people are seeking. An interest in a sort of holistic spirituality, creativity, a concern for justice. Those are signs of a culture that's seeking. If you see that too, come and talk to me. Where are people seeking? And I know amongst my own friends, I have some who seek and some who respect my faith, but it's not for them. And I don't push it with them. But with those who have just shown an interest, those are the ones I might lend a book to, make an invitation to. Look for those who are open, who are seeking. Thirdly, knowing where to start. Often we think the gospel is this sort of one seed we've got to sow and we've got to say the whole thing in one conversation. And I think actually the gospel is more like a packet of seeds. And sometimes we get to just sow one. And it may be one little thing we get to say in a conversation that opens up other conversations further down the line. To discern where to start. What's the one thing I can say that just might arouse interest, create curiosity. And lastly, we are called to make the invitation. At the heart of Jesus' ministry is always this simple invitation to come, follow me. It's something the disciples followed also to say, come and see. Evangelism is at its heart a simple invitation. And sometimes that's what it begins with for us. It's a simple invitation to a friend or a neighbour to come to church, to come to the carol service, to come to Alpha in the new year, whatever it may be. A few years ago, there was a lady in the church who had a baby and she was part of an antenatal group. And she sensed among this group of mums that they were interested in thinking about the bigger questions of life. So she invited the six women in this group to do Alpha. And all six of them came. And I helped lead this group. And we had a great time every Thursday morning with the kids clambering all over the place and noise and chaos, talking about who is Jesus and these questions. And instead of the Holy Spirit weekend away or day away, we knew that wasn't going to be feasible. We just had an evening. And when the evening came, only two of them turned up. And I thought, oh, did we get it wrong? It was a bit of a shame we didn't get more of them, but carried on anyway. And at the end of the talk on the Holy Spirit, I thought I need to ask them if they want anything to be prayed for. And these mums were not used to church. They had no faith background. And I thought I didn't want to, you know, come on too strong. There were only four of us in the room. So I just made a very casual, slightly nervous invitation. Is there anything you want to pray for yourself? Or maybe your aunt's got a bad knee or something. And they both looked to the floor. I thought, oh dear. And then one of them looked up and she said, I do have something. She said, I wondered. She said, would it be all right if I prayed to become a Christian? And I said, I beg your pardon. And she repeated it. And I said, yes, of course. And then I thought, oh no, what is this other mum going to be thinking? And she too looked up from the floor and she said, would you mind terribly if I did the same? It was very polite. And leading these two women to encounter Christ for the first time was one of the finest moments in life. And it began with a simple invitation. Come. Come and see. Come and see. So we are called this morning to see. We are called to seek. And we are called to sow. I'm going to invite the band up to lead us in a song of response now. I wonder whether you would stand with me. Maybe just, if you're comfortable with this, just put out your hands as a sign of saying, God, I'm open to what you are calling me to do. It may feel like a huge thing or it may feel like a little thing. Let's just have a moment of quiet. Father, we thank you that you are the Lord of the harvest. Father, we thank you that you call us to see as you see. And if there are those today who need to experience, maybe even in a heartbreaking way, your compassion for this world, Lord, would you do that amongst them? And if that is you, don't be afraid to open up to God's heart for the world in your heart today. Father, thank you that you call us to seek. If you're calling us today to recommit ourselves to be people of prayer, would you do that in us? And Father, thank you that you call us to sow. Would you place on our hearts this morning those who are seeking, those who are searching, that we may know how to sow seeds of the good news into their lives. Amen.